Now it's that time of the week where we talk about cars, in particular classic cars, because so many people love classic cars and they love their old cars. So start texting now if you want to get an idea of how much your little beauty might be worth. Now, if you ring us, you'll get priority. That's 1300 222 936. But if you don't want to talk, then the text is fine. That's 2 0438 922 936, and I'll be chatting about all this with our new regular classic car expert. His name is Mark Haybittle. G'day, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Chris, yourself?
Not too bad. How are you enjoying this new radio gig?
Oh, look, it's great. It's a great opportunity to chat with some people with some great cars and share the love for what's become a fast-rising asset class now. Everyone's jumping into it.
They are. Listen, how's the scene changing? We've got the business of the imminence of the electric car. I suppose it's, 10 years away or so, and you've... and then the whole business of rising fuel prices and people wondering if they can afford to keep the lovely old thing in the garage. Do you see any trends emerging in sort of the movement of secondhand cars?
Yeah, look, there's a lot going on. I mean, with the advent of electric cars, essentially that's just going to make the collectible cars that we play with a lot more valuable.
Right.
And in terms of the fuel side of things, I mean, it's fair to say fuel recently has been extremely expensive. Thankfully, it's now dropping off a little. But there are other alternatives, and even ourselves, actually, we've been very involved with developing a 100% fossil-free fuel, which can basically replace petrol.
Really?
That's emissions-free and 100% fossil-free as well. So that's probably the future for collectible cars and the cars and buses and vehicles that we see on the road today, is just to basically swap fuel for a renewable fuel.
Yeah. You know? Or else, I mean, I was going to say what they could do is swap their engine for some sort of electric only engine, but it's the car experience is the whole thing, isn't it? It's the performance of the engine and the feel of it as it drives.
Yes, look, it is. It's the sound as much as anything else, and you know, people that we've come across that they've got into electric cars, the one thing they're missing is any kind of sound. I mean, there's no getting away from the fact the electric cars, they've got some amazing performance, but not a very long range. So, you know, they're probably good for about 400 or 500 kilometres maximum, whereas the fuel that we've developed allows us to do 1200 to 1300 kilometres out of a tank. So, you know, you can virtually go from Sydney to Melbourne without stopping using this fuel.
What do you make it out of if there's no fossil fuel in it? Sort of salad dressing or...
surprisingly enough, agricultural waste and hydrogen, a mix of hydrogen, agricultural waste, and food waste. So it's been an interesting thing. We worked on it for a couple of years now, and the only reason that we did that was because we just love our collectible cars so much.
All right, so, let's go. Apparently, you're a walking encyclopedia about this sort of stuff. So we're getting some texts in, and we'll see how you go. This is the listener doesn't identify him or herself. They say, I have a 1989 R32 four-door Nissan Skyline. All the bodywork has been done, freshly painted. This one has an RB20 six-cylinder engine. The upholstery still needs a bit of work. Oh, this is from Russell in southern Tasmania. He says, Mark, what do you think? You only seem to see two-door models around these days. Now, are you getting a picture of this, Mark?
Oh, very much so. I mean, the R32s, I was just playing with an R32 GTR this afternoon, one of the ones that we've got a number of them. R32s are a very, very sought-after machine at the current moment. And it is true to say, as Russell says, that most of the cars that people love are the R32 GTRs, which are the two-doors, which are also four-wheel drive and have also got the RV25 twin-turbo engine in them. Russell's car, being the four-door straight six-cylinder car, look, they are definitely increasing in value quite rapidly now, and they're being dragged up by the fact that the GDRs are now 150 grand cars. And bearing in mind that 3 years ago you could buy an i32 GTR for 12 to 15 grand, so that gives you some idea of the level of appreciation. I mean, they've gone 10 times.
10 times?
10 times.
Now, he says, Russell says about his car, the outside's looking pretty good. The upholstery still needs a bit of work, but do you reckon he'd do pretty well with that?
Yeah, look, at the moment, that car will be about 15 grand's worth now, providing it's got reasonable kilometres on it. I mean, if it's got, you know, really high Ks, over 250 or 300,000, then that might not be the case. But you know, assuming that it's got reasonable Ks on it, sort of under 150 or around 150, and, you know, $15,000-$16,000 for one of those now, which is astounding considering that, you know, a couple of years ago they would have only been worth $1,000 or so, you know.
This is extraordinary. What do you attribute this to, Mark? Is it fashion or taste, or is it just that these cars are vanishing rapidly?
Yeah, look, it's a lot of things. There's really, when we look at, we know all the cars that are gonna go before they go, so we know what's gonna boom before it booms. And the reason why I say that is because we have to take into account about 54 to 55 different points.
Yeah.
But one of the big contributors is that when you look around you today in 2022, all of the cars really are black, white, or silver, and they all look very, very similar.
Yeah.
There's really no differentiation. These cars that we're talking about on this show all come from an era, and when I say that, I'm grouping them all together from anything backwards from 2000 the way back to 1960.
Yeah.
They all come from an era where they all look different. They all had their own character. They even had their own sound, you know.
Really?
Like WRX Subarus sounded very different to anything from Mitsubishi. The Nissan Skyline that the gentleman just mentioned there, that had its own six-cylinder sound, which was different to all V8s. Big differences. The similarity that we've got now with all the cars has kind of killed all that.
Yeah.
People are looking backwards for the days when things were exciting, they sounded great, they looked different, and they were individual. And then, of course, now what you've got coupled up with that is the law of scarcity, because everyone's out there looking for the same cars, and there's not many left.
That's interesting.
A lot of them ended up in the wreckers yards or broken or crashed or insurance write-offs and things like that. So they've gone, you know.
Yeah, and that variability, was that intentional at the time, or was it just simply a byproduct of the standard of construction?
The standard of construction was a lot higher. They were made of different materials. As I'm sure you're aware, Chris, now when you jump in a 2022 car, it's very obvious that 90% of the thing is made of plastic.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre that now in recent times, you know, even BMW, they have a plastic water pump on the engine. On a plastic water pump and a plastic radiator, completely plastic, no aluminium at all. It's bizarre. It's taken the level of what you can make things out of plastic to a whole brand new level. And, of course, it doesn't work because, you know, the longevity is not there.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go back to the sort of 80s and 90s when, you know, we had the trusty Toyotas here in Australia and, you know, the trusty Nissans, they were solid, reliable cars made of metal, a substance called metal. It was amazing.
I'm talking to Mark Haybittle. So basically, that's good news for Russell in southern Tasmania, that his Nissan Skyline from 89, you reckon around about the 15 grand mark. And, of course, the good news is that that's gone up 15-fold in the past few years.
Absolutely. And rising every day.
Rising every day. All right. So don't do it quite. Fix your upholstery, Russell. That's that one. This is a listener called WP, Mark. He says, hi, I have two old Holdens, and I would like an idea of their value. He has an EK Ute and an EJ sedan. Both cars are in good order, fully registered, and they run well. Now, what sort of date would you put on those, Mark?
They're cars from the mid-50s.
Mid-50s?
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and they're both extremely rare. An EK Ute. I can't remember the last time I saw one. And bearing in mind we deal with a huge number of collectors all over Australia,
yeah.
and we're in and out of all their barns and factories and show, sheds all the time. And I haven't seen an Eco Ute for a long time.
Wow.
So that is a super rare vehicle. Very hard to value, actually, because I'd really need to see it. I'd need to know the history and the kilometres, because it would make a big difference on that vehicle, more so than it does with others.
Yeah.
But having not seen it, without knowing the history and without knowing the background, it's probably worth at least $45,000.
Gee, yeah. And that's just an ambit, a speculative thing. It could be more.
It could be more.
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on condition, depends on originality, depends on a lot of things, really. There's a lot of things that you've got to take into account with these things.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, you know, it's a pretty rare vehicle. He should hold on to that, because that'll just keep going up and up and up. But, I mean, they're certainly not making anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No, they have not.
And good 60, luck trying to find one.
A 67-year-old car or thereabouts. What about maintaining a vehicle like that? Is it? I mean, you can't just sort of go out and get the parts, can you?
It depends. Across the years of the cars, you'd be surprised. What's actually happened with this movement, and it is a movement because it's part of an asset class that everybody's investing in now. We've got new people coming on board with us all the time.
Right.
And because of that, it's... particularly overseas, it's created a whole industry of people remaking parts for these vehicles.
Really? Yeah. They realise that there's a quid to be turned by actually resurrecting the old parts. And
well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of examples I'd use from the UK, which will give you some idea.
Yeah.
There's two companies in the UK that actually... you can actually buy a complete MGB GT in pieces, including the body, and build it brand new from the pieces they sell.
How much is it?
Well, the body's about £10,000, which is $20,000.
Yeah.
And then all the rest of the parts, well, to be honest, you can actually source all the rest of the parts for about another $10,000 if you wanted to.
And end up with this amazing... amazing
vehicle. Yeah, so for about 40,000 Australian, you could have a brand new MGB GT with a brand new body that is literally off the production line, because they have a production line and they actually make bodies. The same's true of E-Type Jaguars. That's been established for a very long time now. You can buy everything for an E-Type Jaguar. You can do the same mostly for Range Rover two doors now.
It's like Meccano for grown-ups, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the attraction. You see, that's yet another attraction of the classic cars, because you could actually build one at home. You know, you can do that. You can put it in your garage and you can buy it as a project and you can get all the parts you need. Now, that's to be fair, that's not the same for all cars, but some of the more popular ones, that's how it's turned out, because this is an industry now. It's not a little thing anymore.
All right. I think the texts are picking up. I think people are starting to nudge each other, saying, you better turn on the ABC. They've got this bloke on. The bloke is Mark Haybettle. Is it from Supercar Secrets? Is that where I said it?
Yeah, Supercar Secrets, I own the UK end of it, and then Shirley Edwards Langford, she owns the UK end of it.
Brilliant,
so
brilliant.
I own the Australian end of it. She owns the UK end of it.
So. All right, good on you, Mark. You know your stuff. Anyway, look, Fritz from Sorel says, I have a Mercedes-Benz, a 28.05. OS, would that be right? 28 OSE?
It'll be a 280 SE, I think.
280 SE, that's it. 6.3, he says, silvering color.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only one thing we need to know with that one. Is it a two-door or a four-door?
Oh,
it makes
Fritz.
A massive difference.
Does it? Oh, you better give us both.
The four doors have come from a really low base. They were really worth not very much. They were worth under $10,000.
Yeah.
Now they're worth about $35,000, $40,000, only 18 months down the track.
Yeah.
The coupes, though, they're a whole different kettle of fish.
The two doors? What's that worth?
Yeah, the two doors. The two doors, again, 2 years ago, you could buy a nice one for $60,000.
Yeah.
Probably cost you $130,000 now. But if it's a coupe convertible, a convertible, they're about $250,000.
All right, Fritz. Fritz has apparently just gone out to the garage and ripped the two back doors off his car. It's now a two. I can hear the grind of metal.
Yeah.
Fritz.
Yeah.
Fritz, you'll be able to... Yeah.
Make sure he makes the front doors longer when he's doing it.
Fritz, I tell you what, he'll be hitting the bottle at the moment. He could be sitting on a gold mine.
Absolutely. Those two ADSEs, there's huge demand for the coupes. We actually did have quite a lot of them, but we've got rid of them. And arguably, we sold out too cheap. We should have held on to them for a bit longer because they've kept on going. They're like the gift that never stops giving, like so many of our cars.
Brilliant. Hey, listen, there's another car aficionado. He says that those Holden, the EK and the EJ, he says they're from the 60s, not the 50s. How about that?
Yeah, well, they cross across. They started in the late 50s and went into the 60s.
They kept on going. All right, two bob each way. There we go. We've got a couple to go. Well, we've got time for a couple more, I think. The text number is 0438 922936. Mark Hay Bittle on the line. You can always ring, of course, 1300 222 936. We've got another four or so minutes. Mark, I have a 1991 Commodore. It's a V6 S-Pack. What does it say? A 1966 Wayfarer Slant 6 Valiant Ute. Is that all one car? Or is that two cars?
No, they're two different cars. The Slant 6 Valiant Ute is quite a rare bird these days. They had that Slant 6 engine's quite a rare engine, actually. Those vehicles now, they were sort of $5,000 or $6,000's worth, but they're about $35,000 now because they're a very rare vehicle, those Slant 6 Utes.
Jeepers. The 91.
That's an S-Pack, so they're a little bit rarer. Not huge value in those because it's really the very early Commodores, the VBs and VCs and VHs that are really getting the money at the moment, but probably around about $10,000 for that.
Okay, and that's only now. This is the point, isn't it?
Yeah, going up. I mean, you know, where can you buy a Commodore? Where was the last time you saw a Commodore on the road? But they've all disappeared.
Yeah, so fascinating. This is from Graham. Graham says he's got a 1999 Nissan Patrol Trayback, 4.2-litre diesel. Non-turbo, silver. It's got just over 200,000 Ks on it, and it's in good nick. So it's, what's that, 23 years old. Nissan Patrol Trayback.
Yeah, look, the whole ute sector has absolutely taken off. And looking at the other end of the ute sector, believe it or not, there are now a whole litany of Toyota Land Cruiser utes, nearly new ones, and other utes on car sales for $300,000.
Wow.
Loads of them. It's amazing. So what that's done is that's raised the value of all utes basically up because of what's happening at the top end. Now, traditionally, a Nissan Patrol Trayback ute wouldn't really have been worth a huge amount of money. But now, if it's in good nick and with about 200,000 Ks on the clock...
Yeah.
It's probably about $20,000 to $22,000 worth of vehicle now.
Graham, boy oh boy.
Which is amazing because, once again, 2 years ago, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, something like that. But look at it now.
Yeah, 4 years ago, you would have said, gee, it's getting on a bit. I'll get rid of it, you know.
Yeah,
put it on
absolutely.
Car sales, $4,000, and now it's worth $22,000.
Yeah, that's right. It just shows you because, again, where are you going to buy another one? I mean, when was the last time you saw a Nissan Patrol Trayback? Yeah. I mean, they're extremely rare.
Mark, we've got a minute to go, so this will be a swift evaluation. This is Paul in Launceston. Paul says, I have a 1966 Jaguar S-Type, 3.8 litre, needs about 2,000, is that what he's saying, to make it roadworthy. Any opinion? 66 Jaguar.
Right. Well, S-types are racing up the charts. They're what's considered to be the poorer brother of the Mark II Jaguar, but they're actually nicer in many ways. That car there, if it needs about $2,000 spinning on it, it's probably currently worth between $15,000 and $20,000. But we've currently got one that we're just about to get rid of for $70,000. So it gives you some idea of where they've got to.
All right. Pretty amazing stuff. Mark, it's been a fabulous segment. Such a pleasure to talk to you. And I must say, my eyes are just boggling. I'm trying to think of who can afford to buy a classic car these days, but there's plenty of people out there, obviously. Great to talk to you. You'll be with Kylie next week, and I hope we get to do it again together soon.
Yeah, look forward to it. No, fantastic. Good talking to you, Chris.
And, thanks, mate.
And good sharing with the listeners, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you'll be back next Thursday anyway, so we'll do it all over again. Cheers.
Fantastic.
Thanks,
I look forward to that.
Bye-bye. That's Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets. Isn't that staggering?